I call to order the regular meeting of the Unalaska City Council. It's called to order at 6 p.m. on Tuesday, October 28th. I'll ask Councilman Tungo to read our mission statement, please.
To provide a sustainable quality of life through excellent stewardship of government.
Thank you, Councilman Tungo. Next, I've got City Clerk. Please call the roll.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Bell?
Present.
Ms. Coleman?
Here.
Mr. Longo? Ms. Luby?
Here.
Mr. Chastain? Mr. Tungle?
Here.
Mr. Turekoff?
Here. Do we have a quorum? Councilman Longo is excused. And we do have a quorum. Please join Councilman Coleman and I in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Councilman Coleman. Welcome all those in the chambers here and those that are online. We have, okay. Next item is our mayor proclamation, November 1st, 2025, as Extra Mile Day, declaring November 1st the Extra Mile Day in Unalaska. Whereas Alaska is a community which acknowledges that a special vibrancy exists within the entire community when an individual citizen collectively go the extra mile in personal effort, volunteerism, and service. Whereas the Alaska is a community which encourages citizens to maximize the personal contribution to the community by giving themselves wholeheartedly and with total effort, commitment, and conviction to their individual ambitions, family, friends, and community. And whereas Alaska is a community which chooses to shine a light on to celebrate the individuals and organizations within the community who go the extra mile in order to make a difference and lift up fellow community members. Whereas Alaska acknowledged the mission of the Extra Mile America to create more than 550 Extra Mile cities in America and is proud to support Extra Mile Day on November 1st, 2025. Now, therefore, I, Vincent M. Tudikoff, Sr., as the mayor of Alaska, do hereby proclaim November 1st, 2025 to be an extra mile day. I urge each individual in the community to take the time on this day to not only go the extra mile in his or her own life, but also acknowledge all those who are spiritual in their efforts and commitment to make their organizations, family, community, country, and the world a better place. So proclaimed on October 28, 2025. This time, I'll ask the city clerk to administer the oath of office for council seat CCA, Mayor Vincent Tudikoff Sr., and council seat CCD, Lenine Luby.
Mr. Tudikoff, if you could please raise your right hand and repeat after me. I state your name, do solemnly swear that I will honestly, faithfully, and impartially perform the duties of the mayor of the city of Unalaska.
I, Vincent M. Tudikoff, Sr., do solemnly swear that I will honestly, faithfully, impartially perform the duties of the mayor for the city of Unalaska.
In true accord with the Constitution of the United States of America, the laws of the state of Alaska, and the code of ordinances of the city of Unalaska.
In true accordance with the Constitution of the United States of America, laws of the State of Alaska, and the Code of Ordinances of the City of Unalaska.
I take this oath freely, without the least equivocation, mental reservation, or self-evasion of mind whatsoever.
I take this oath freely, without least equivocation, mental reservation, or self-evasion of mind whatsoever.
Congratulations, Mr. Tudikoff,
Thank
Mayor
you.
Of the City of Unalaska.
Thank you very much.
Let's begin the proceedings.
And now, Ms. Luby, I state your name, do solemnly swear that I will honestly, faithfully, and impartially perform the duties of a member of the City Council of the City of Unalaska.
I, Deneen Luby, do solemnly swear that I will honestly, faithfully, and impartially perform the duties of a member of the City Council of the City of Unalaska.
In true accord with the Constitution of the United States of America, the laws of the State of Alaska, and the Code of Ordinances of the City of Unalaska.
In true accord with the Constitution of the United States of America, the laws of the State of Alaska, and the Code of Ordinances of the City of Unalaska.
I take this oath freely, without the least equivocation, mental reservation, or self-evasion of mind whatsoever.
I take this oath freely, without the least equivocation, mental reservation, or self-evasion of mind whatsoever.
Congratulations, Ms. Luby.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
Congratulations, Councilman Luby. Good job. At this time, we'll have the appointment of the vice mayor from among the council members to serve a one-year term. Would anyone like to make a motion? Yes, Councilman Luby.
Yeah, I'll make a motion to appoint Councilman Tungle.
Moved by Councilman Luby. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Councilman Coleman. Any objections? Hearing none. Congratulations, Councilman Tungle. Oh, both. Well, go ahead. Oh, Tom, are you there? Hear this? Still on? Okay. May I have a roll call, please?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Ms. Coleman?
Yes.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Tungle?
Yes.
Ms. Luby?
Yes.
On a roll call vote of 4 yes and 0 nays, the appointment of vice mayor is Councilman Tungle. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Congratulations, and thank you for stepping up on this job. Next is the appointment, adoption of the agenda. I have a motion and a second to adopt the agenda.
Move to adopt the agenda.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Coleman, second by Councilman Tungle. Are there any objections? Hearing no objection, the agenda is adopted. Next item is approve the minutes of the previous meeting. May I have a motion and a second to approve the proposed minutes of the meeting held October 14, 2025?
Move to approve minutes of previous meeting, October 14, 2025.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Tungle, seconded by Councilman Coleman. Are there any objections to approval of the minutes of a previous meeting? Hearing none, the proposed minutes are approved. Next item is reports for September financials and city manager's report. I'll turn this over to the acting city manager to Take us forward.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So our finance department staff prepared and provided the reports that are in your meeting packet for September 2025. Our interim finance director, Jim Sharp, is attending via Zoom, and I've asked him to point out some highlights on the reports, and he'll be available to answer any questions you might have. Go ahead, Jim.
Thank you, Margie, and good evening, Mr. Mayor and Council. As Margie stated, the financials are in your packet. There are a few items that I wanted to touch on. If you recall, you know, prior meetings when I present financials, I always try to think of a benchmark with respect to where we are in the calendar year, or excuse me, the fiscal year, and what percentage of budget we've achieved through the conclusion of that month. And September is the third month of the fiscal year, so easy math for me says 25% is my benchmark. There are a few that really that fall outside of that I wanted to touch on. And if you don't mind, I'll go through that, which is a good thing considering that's a significant portion of our local economy as well with the fishery. The Alaska Business Fisheries Tax, we did receive a payment from the state during the month of September. That's why you see such a large amount for the month. And then that does represent the amount received through the fiscal year so far. Property taxes, those show at 56% on the report, which represents, again, roughly half of what would have been collected in August. The second half payment of those taxes typically is received in October. So I would expect when October financials are presented next month that the amount will be much closer to 100%. Investment earnings, it shows here, is 111%. That will fluctuate on a monthly basis depending on the financial markets in the country. So even though it's over 100%, it could just as easily dip down next month and be much lower. I did want to comment on sales tax. Just briefly, you'll notice the amount for September is really small, and that's primarily a result of our collection cycle of sales tax. Local businesses report and pay their sales tax on a quarterly basis, and so they will pay their first, so quarter three for the calendar year 2025. Those taxes will most likely be paid, reported and paid in October. So next month, that amount should be much greater. On the expenditure side, the only item within the general fund that was significantly outside or above the budget was the city administration department. And that is a result of an insurance payment in July, which is a substantial portion of their budget. That also impacts a few utility funds, the water utility, the wastewater utility, both administration funds, and then the ports and harbors UMC. The primary revenue item that I wanted to mention, and Scarlett, if you could scroll down to the electric. I think it's one more page. Yes, right there. You'll notice that the electric revenue is at 18% of budget. Again, the benchmark is around 25. And I reached out to Eric, the director, and asked for some additional information. He can certainly elaborate a bit more, but the response I received was, you know, Matson has reduced their consumption due to low container traffic, which results in obviously reduces the revenue side. With respect to other items, housing, they are above the 25% on their expenses, and that's due to the painting of housing units as well as roof assessments. And with that, I will open it up for any questions that council may have.
Thank you, Mr. Sharp. Any questions or comments on the financial, Councilman Coleman?
Yeah, thank you. I think when I looked at the investment earnings, I was like, oh, that's great. But then I want to just go back and if maybe you can remind me, or I don't know how this fits in, but of course we put in a substantial amount of money into the sustainability fund. And so where are we on that? Has that been implemented? And if so, are we going to be able to see that in a report, even though we wouldn't be taking earnings out?
Okay, so to answer your first question, the city manager and I met with APCM yesterday, and we are working through the final stages of funding that contribution to establish that new sustainability fund. With respect to presenting the activity or the income portion of that, we will. These are canned reports that we get out of our Crystal report system. We can alter these reports, or I can certainly put something together in an Excel format that would present the same level of information as what you're seeing here. So yes, we will be reporting on that as well. Does
Okay,
that answer your questions?
it does. So do you have a timeline on when you think are we going to require council action on implementation? I think we already gave that. Do you know when this will start?
You will have before you, I believe it's going to be at the special meeting on the 10th, the adoption and approval of their amended contract, which shows a new fee structure that includes two funds with differing strategies. And as a result, the fee structure is a bit different. But once that is approved by council, then we fund it. The expectation is we should have that fund funded by the end of September, or excuse me, end of November.
Okay, so once that gets done, then we should or we could see a change in investment earnings.
At the general fund level, I would expect that to be the case.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Councilman Bell, you have a comment or question for Jim?
No questions at this time, Mayor. Thank you.
Councilman, thank you, Councilman Bell. Councilman Tungle?
Yeah, Jim. Why is Alaska Fisheries Resource landing? We don't have anything in there, right? It's
So
zero.
those payments we receive those. That's an annual payment, and we did receive a payment in October. And I apologize, I don't have the amount in front of me. I do recall it was in excess of $4 million. We will receive another payment in April. That while it may not make up the full difference between what we received this month and the $5 million, it will bridge the gap substantially.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any further questions or comments for Councilman Luby?
Yeah, I just want to say I appreciate getting financials this early in the fiscal year, so I appreciate that. So thanks a lot.
Happy to provide them.
Thank you. Any further comments, questions for Mr. Sharp? None. Well, thank you, Mr. Sharp, for your presentation. Appreciate it, and we'll be talking to you soon.
All right. Thank you, folks.
Thank you. The next item is the city manager report. I'll turn this over to Marjorie, acting city manager.
Excuse me. Thank you, Mayor. The first thing I wanted to just point out is in section one, the upcoming dates to note. Our auditors will be here the week of November 3rd to work on our FY25 audit. We're very pleased to be back on schedule with our audits. And the finance department has already been working with them doing pre-work, and they're making good headway and are on schedule. November 4 is the election day for our school board runoff election. And then we will have a meeting on November 10th. That's a Monday, a special meeting. And then and the reason for that is Tuesday, November 11th, the time you'd regularly have a meeting is Veterans Day, and that's a city holiday. Also, we're pleased to report that we'll have two new police officers starting work on November 3rd, as well as a lineman. So we're very pleased to fill those positions. So my report's in there, and if you have any questions, we're happy to try to respond to those.
Okay, thank you. Any questions or comments on the city manager's report as presented by acting city manager? Councilman Bell, do you have any?
No question. Excuse me. No questions, Mayor. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Further questions? Okay. Thank you, Marjorie, for an update.
You're welcome.
Next item is the board and commission's minutes. They're included in the packet for your information. There will be no presentation. We have planning commission minutes, September 18th, 2025, are included. Next item is the community input and announcements. This is the time for members of the public to provide information to the council, to make announcements of interest to the community. Please come to the podium, use a microphone, and state your name.
Mayor. Council, how are you tonight? Roger Blakely, PCR director. One announcement tonight is that we, on the 31st Halloween, we're going to have just fun excitement over the PCR. And we have a 3K monster mash dash. But because the weather is going to be so bad, I don't want to send those little kids out there dashing in the streets and get frostbite or something. So we're going to have the Monster Mash Dash inside on the track. And as an incentive, in order to get the 3Ks, it's 54 laps. That'll be exciting. But in order to make that happen, we're going to, every lap you go by, we'll give you a piece of candy. Yeah, that'll be fun. Yeah. We want you to come out and have a good time. We want to thank Resolve Moraine for providing some prizes for the most creative costume, the most spookiest costume, and the funniest costume. So come on, have a good time, and enjoy Halloween. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Roger.
Evening, Mr. Mayor, City Council members. I'm Pete Withers. I'm here on behalf of the high school and Veterans Day. The high school, in conjunction with the city, is going to host a Veterans Day ceremony at the high school from 1400 to 1500 hours. That's 215 to 315. In the high school gym, we're going to encourage all veterans, specifically veterans with family members in the school district, to attend so that school students can introduce their veteran to the community. We got the Coast Guard. It's going to do our colors for us. We've got some veteran speakers, or at least one of us. And we hope to have all the veterans in the community, again, specifically the veterans with family members, be it a grandchild, a child, a niece, nephew, cousin, whatever, so that they can meet and be shown to the community who their families are that made a sacrifice for our country. Again, that's November 11th. City's off, so we should see all the city workers there. It's at the high school gym, 1400 to 1500. In addition to that, the teen council from the high school would like to put on a potluck for the veterans. So I'm going to try and reach out to all the veterans with the teen council and have a potluck for the veterans sometime that week. Thank you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate what you're doing with the veterans. I'm sorry I didn't make your meetings, all your meetings, but I support the veterans' efforts here in this community. Thank you.
The next meeting, by the way, is November 9th at 1500 hours, same location.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else?
We have one Mr. Mayor on Zoom. We have Mr. Kelty.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor. Congratulations, and council members, and congratulations, Ms. Luby, on winning your election. I want to give a quick update on what's going on with our local Bering Sea crab fisheries. On the Bristol Bay Red King crab, we're at 31 landings so far for 1.7 million pounds. We have 900,000 pounds left. 65% of the allocation has been taken. We have crab have been averaging really good sized crab, 6.8 pounds. And the CPUE, which is crab catch per unit effort, is at 28 crab, which is a little bit better than last year. on the Beredye Tanner is just getting underway. We've had two small deliveries, probably less than 50,000 pounds, but there's 11 vessels that are registered for Tanner crab, seven in the Bering Sea and four on the western section of the Tanner crab fishery. And on brown king crab, we're moving along. We're at 61% harvested, 2.5 million from the 4.1 million allocation. We have about 1.6 million pounds left. And the Western District, the harvest of 800,000 has been totally taken. So there's three boats working the east side, and that's where we have the 1.6 million still to harvest. So that's all I have. Thank you very much.
Great. Thank you, Frank. Appreciate your efforts in keeping us up to date on the fisheries. Okay. City Clerk, are there any written comments submitted, or does anyone on Zoom besides Frank?
No, sir, there were no more written comments in there.
Okay, thanks. Next item is the public comment on agenda items. At this time, members of the public to provide information to the council regarding items on the agenda. If they don't want to wait until the item comes up on the regular agenda to comment later during the regular agenda, you need to sign up with the city clerk. Please come to the podium, use the microphone, and state your name. Does anyone wish to speak? City clerk, are there any written comments, or does anyone on Zoom wish to speak regarding this?
No, sir.
Okay, thank you. Our next item is a work session. May I have a motion and a second to go into a work session?
I make a motion to go into work session.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Tungle and second by Councilman Luby. There's no objections. Hearing no objections, we are in work session at 6:29. First item on our work session is the review and comment on capital and major maintenance plan and budget schedule. Turn this over to City Manager for introduction.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to invite our Planning Director, Cameron Dean, to the podium to walk us through the FY27 to 36 CMMP and budget calendar. Following his presentation, both Mr. Dean and Mr. Honka are available for any inquiries from Council. Go ahead, Cameron.
Okay. Thanks, Margie. Thank you, Mayor Council. So we do this work session every year in the fall to go over the CMMP and budget calendar for the following season. The timing on everything for this is pretty similar to previous years. So I wanted to take the opportunity to introduce some changes that we're proposing to the CMMP process for this season. And this is really coming to better align that process with the focus that Council has shown both on fiscal sustainability and maintenance. And particularly, I think Council has been very clear in wanting to see the big picture of a lot of these infrastructure issues that we've talked about over the last couple of months. So this CMMP is going to be providing that. So start with priorities. So for the last several years, you probably remember that you've ranked different categories for the CMMP, like conceptual categories, like quality of life or regulatory compliance. Ultimately, though, the CMMP needs to work together with our state and federal legislative priorities. So this year, we're proposing to make the CMMP prioritization look more like the process we use to adopt those. So you can expect those priorities to be more concrete, more visible in the final product. And you'll be discussing those on November 25th. The city manager will propose CMMP priorities, and you'll vote on a resolution just like you do with the legislative priorities that you'll be, I think those are scheduled for January this year. So looking on the resources, the funding side for this, we're planning to present overviews of the estimated funding for potential sources for CMMP projects. So 1% funds, profit in the general fund. And we're mostly talking with that about the general fund projects. So as you probably remember, the updated rates for each utility that you adopted last year took into account each utility's projects on the CMMP at that time. So all those utility proprietary fund projects, there's already a long-term funding strategy in place for those. But the goal here is to better allow council to evaluate whether our expected revenues are going to be adequate for projects on the CMMP or whether we need to start looking at a different strategy. Then on the other side, so the expense side, maintenance. So if maintaining all of the city's existing infrastructure is a goal for the CMMP, then that represents a pretty significant baseline investment that we need to make. We have a much better idea of what that looks like this year after the roof study and other work the city's done. So we'll be presenting that to council to at a high level first to better like weigh that against the expected funding that's going to be available. And we'll be presenting a phased approach to deal with those maintenance needs. So Public Works is already starting putting together a plan for addressing all of the roofs that you talked about the draft report at the last meeting. So our intent for that and the revenue together is to give you a context for evaluating all, you know, the other priorities. So just as an example, we've talked over the last year about buildings that need pretty significant amounts of work. So should we repair the existing building or build a new one at a higher cost that might expand city services or, you know, have a longer lifespan? We're trying to set up the CMMP to help you, you know, better weigh all those different options. End of the day, though, with this, you can still expect to see the same reports, the same. We'll still be getting into the nitty-gritty project details, scheduling, project budgets for all of these. We're just trying to layer on to that a kind of higher level view to this to give you that big picture and then also help establish a strategy for the CMMP early on in the process to help guide project development throughout the year. There's more details in the memo for that. Budget schedule's also in the packet, so I'm happy to answer questions if you have them. But otherwise, I'll be back here to talk about the CMMP priorities on November 25th.
Thank you, Cameron. Are there any questions, comments on the CMMP? Councilman Bell?
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. Cameron does an excellent job in the planning department, and I don't have any further questions. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. No more questions? I guess we'll be reviewing it more in November. It'll be like prioritizing and revenue funding. Those other issues will be discussed at that meeting.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Starting off kind of higher level, establish that strategy, and then as the year goes on, getting more into the specifics.
A lot of homework. Okay, thank you very much for your efforts.
Thank you.
Does anyone, City Clerk, are there any written comments submitted, or does anyone on Zoom or phone wish to speak?
No, sir, no comment, and no one in Zoom wanted to.
Okay, thank you. In a work session, I'd request a motion and a second to return to the regular session.
I move we return to regular session.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Coleman, second by Councilman Tungle. Hearing no objections, we're back to regular session at 6:37 p.m. We are now on the regular agenda. Persons wish to speak on the regular agenda item must sign up with the city clerk 3 minutes otherwise. First item is resolution 2025-61, adopting the greater of the National Consumer Price Index for the urban wage earners and clerical workers, CPIW, and Anchorage Consumer Price Index for all urban consumers, CPIU, Anchorage, as the metric to determine annual cost of living adjustments. We have a motion, a second, to adopt resolution 2025-61.
Move to adopt resolution 2025-61.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Coleman. Coleman, and second by Councilman Luby. Okay, I'll turn this over to the Acting City Manager for introduction.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So cost of living adjustments for our union represented employees are determined during negotiations and memorialized in the collective bargaining agreements. But for our unrepresented employees, the COLA is determined by council. Our compensation consultant, McGrath, recommends that our wage scales and wages paid to our current employees be upgraded annually with a cost of living adjustment in order to maintain our competitive pay at the 85th percentile of our comparable market. We don't want the situation we found ourselves in a few years ago, with only one, with only one cost of living adjustment in a 10-year period, and our pay scales woefully out of date. We don't want to be there again. So city management supports the adoption of a consistent metric to determine the COLA. Jackie Adams from our planning department has conducted the research, which she will present to you this evening, along with our recommendation based on the data. It's vitally important for both the retention of our existing employees and also the recruitment of new employees that we maintain our wage scales and the wages and wages with cost of living adjustments. Additionally, having a defined standard, a standard metric that council has adopted will really provide consistency in our budgeting process. The proposed resolution suggests that we use the greater of the CPIW used by the Social Security Administration and CPI Anchorage. You'll hear about the data supporting the recommendation this evening. I also want to point out that the proposed resolution is set up as a continuing resolution, meaning that staff would use this method until it's either rescinded or modified by council. Finally, I'd like to point out that we don't expect to request a budget amendment related to this cost of living adjustment for FY26. And that's because when we were preparing the FY26 personnel budgets, we included a 3% COLA for January 1st already. So that's already built into our budgets. So we don't expect that we'll be seeing, that you'll be seeing any budget amendments related to a COLA adjustment for FY26. So now I'd like to invite Jackie Adams up, and she's going to present her the results of her research and the data supporting our recommendation. Thank you, Jackie. Go ahead. You'll want to hit the button at the base of the microphone.
Thank you, Margie, and hi to Mayor and Council. Thank you very much for having me up here. Like Margie said, my name is Jackie Adams, and I am the Grants Management Coordinator for the city. I was asked to pull together a report about the cost of living in Unalaska, the adjustments to the Title III pay scales, provide my recommendations based on my conclusions from the data, and then present this to council. So let's go ahead and get started. So first, I wanted to provide a bit of background. Like Margie mentioned, last year we had the McGrath Human Resources Group come in to do a compensation study, and they advised a complete overhaul of our pay schedules, which I will get more into in a moment. They advised that we provide an annual cost of living adjustment, or a COLA. So at the end of last year, the planning department pulled together a report recommending what the COLA for 2025 should be, which you might remember. That was Ordinance 2024-16. But in order to avoid having to do that kind of ordinance every year to set COLA for the next fiscal year, it suggested that we could just instead do a resolution to predetermine how we calculate COLA going forward. And like Margie mentioned, that has a lot of benefits. It's a lot easier for budgeting and projections, and then there's less staff time required to pull together this research and then present it to council along with our recommendations. So my goal when I pulled together this report was to come up with something that is simple to use, flexible, respectful to the city's budget, and also fair to our employees. So that McGrath study had some key findings I wanted to review before we move on. Before McGrath was brought in, the city had only had a 4.5% cost of living adjustment in the previous decade or so, I believe since 2013. And that meant the pay across the board was below the suggested market rate, especially considering this is Unalaska. We have very unique challenges here, especially to cost of living. So McGrath recommended that we stay at the 85th percentile of market value. Otherwise, we risk having issues with staff turnover or problems attracting new employees. So any COLA calculations we do need to keep that in mind, that we should be trying to keep these pay scales within that 85th percentile range. And moving on, the big question is, how much does it cost to live in Onalaska, and how does that cost change over time? And that is a great question, and I don't know. Unfortunately, while we do try and collect cost of living data, and I have some of that data here, it has some very large caveats that kind of limit its use for this kind of thing. So if you look at our little graph over here, I can use data that we gather from the Council for Community and Economic Research, which is C2ER, to figure out how Onalaska compares to the rest of the nation. So if we assume this line here is our baseline, so this is, let's see, Vero Beach, Florida, somewhere like Tahlequah, Oklahoma, significantly cheaper to live there than the national baseline. We are right here. It's a little bit more expensive. And then roughly in line with Anchorage and Juneau, but significantly lower than somewhere like, say, Hawaii. So we can use this for comparative data. But like I said, there's caveats. So the C2ER data very specifically wants us to compare apples to apples. So for groceries, they want me to enter in only the cost of a McDonald's burger, but we don't have a McDonald's here. So I can't put that information in. Therefore, it's a little bit flawed. Therefore, in my personal opinion, this is probably a severe underestimation of what it costs to live here. It doesn't account for healthcare. It doesn't account for airfare off the island. It doesn't account for our very specific grocery issues. So the data is limited and it cannot be used to predict the future either, which is what we're trying to do when we're doing these COLA adjustments. What I can do is something like this. Council recently approved some utility rate increases. So I took the rate increases for the residential water, wastewater, and electric, which are these lines respectively, and I compared it to a baseline 2% COLA, which is our little dotted green line here. You can see in 2026, that baseline is not enough to actually cover increases to water or wastewater, although it does kind of even out over time. And that is just utilities. Again, that's not healthcare. That's not flight. That's not rent or mortgages. That's not changes to shipping costs. That's not the cost of trying to get your car worked on if it happens to break down in the City Hall parking lot. It's a snapshot, and it is unfortunately some of the best and only data that I can gather. So this is what we are working with. So with all of that in mind, how do we calculate COLA? So the most commonly used measure is the Consumer Price Index, which is published by the Bureau of Labor Statistics, and that looks at how the prices of a lot of key items, food, transportation, housing, etc., how that changes over time. The CPIW is specifically used by the Social Security Administration to calculate adjustments to Social Security payments. So that is a very solid option to use. The SSA published their COLA last Friday, and it's been confirmed to be a 2.8% increase. That is a change from the packet where I estimated a 2.7 increase. At the time, they hadn't published their full data, so that was just an estimation. There's one big problem with the CPIW, though, because it's attempting to capture the average inflation rate across the nation. And like I mentioned, Onalaska is quite unique. We have a lot of challenges that might not apply in the rest of the nation. So this might not be as applicable as we would want it to be. So then with that in mind, we could try and use one of the regional CPIU numbers, and there's two of interest to one. There's one for urban Alaska, which is essentially the Anchorage area, and one for urban Hawaii. Those might be a little bit closer to us. Hawaii is very similar geographically, of course, remote island, a lot of the same issues with transportation and shipping. And then of course we have a lot in common with Anchorage as well. So for Hawaii, we're still kind of looking at solid numbers, but theirs is probably around 2.9% roughly, and Anchorage's is around 2.4. So, with all of that out of the way, what is the best measure? Is it the nationwide CPIW, the CPIU for Anchorage, or for Hawaii? What is closest to the actual cost of living changes in Alaska? None of them, unfortunately. We have, next slide, please. We have pros and cons to both. The CPIW, the nationwide one, it's widely used, it's broad, it's robust, but it might not capture our unique issues. And we risk underestimating how much it truly does cost to live here. The CPIU is more focused on our specific region, and we do have a lot in common with Anchorage. But what if Anchorage experiences some boom or bust that isn't reflected with us? And more than that, Anchorage is on the mainland. They're larger, they're urban. That's different than us, and all of that has impact. So, with that in mind, here in blue, we have the nationwide measure, the CPIW. Anchorage's is in green. I did my best to compare apples to apples here. So, that data is from the SSA Social Security Payment Adjustments, which is published October, November, and the Q3 data for Anchorage. And they do follow a similar curve. And there's some trends. Anchorage's tends to be lower, though not always, as you can see in 2021. And in 2019, Anchorage actually had a negative CPI. So my recommendation isn't that we can use either. I recommend that essentially we use both. Based on the data, this is what I concluded. I believe each year the planning department will check that nationwide CPIW, which is used by the Social Security Administration, and the CPIU for Anchorage specifically. And then the higher of those two numbers will be the COLA for the Title III employees that year. So for this year, the CPIW is 2.8, CPIU for Anchorage is 2.4. So I've recommended that this year the COLA for Title III employees should be the 2.8% increase. We, as I mentioned, already budgeted for a 3% increase based off of just some early estimations of what those numbers would be. So this won't require a budget amendment, thankfully. And I think that this particular plan has a lot of benefits. By using a higher number, we ensure that we're going to stay in that 85th percentile that McGrath recommended, and we're not going to be underestimating the cost of living. But it's also fair to the budget. It's actually a little less than we originally budgeted for, and it is the most robust and fair measure that I could think of. So it makes sure that we're using the highly researched CPI numbers that are a good indicator of inflation, while making sure to account for any unexpected dips, either nationwide or in Anchorage. Next, please. But there are some alternatives that I would like council to consider. I personally believe that the data best supports choosing the higher number, but you could also amend the resolution presented to you and go with a different option. For example, instead of the higher of the two numbers, council could ask that we come up with a weighted formula. On the right, I have the same graph as before, but that yellow bar is a 50-50 weighted formula between the two numbers. That is another option that could potentially be chosen. Or council could ask that we base COLA off of some other economic indicator other than CPI, or enact a flat COLA, something like a flat 3%, which does risk underestimating the true cost of living should something like COVID, for example, happen and cause some very sudden, very large spikes that we couldn't anticipate. But on the other hand, it would be easier to budget for personnel costs because it is consistent. And then, of course, you could reject the resolution as written. But for the whole, that is my presentation. And thank you very much for listening. And I am here if you have any questions.
Okay, thank you. Do you have any questions or comments? Councilman Coleman?
Thank you for the presentation, Ms. Adams. I'm actually surprised we didn't move this as a work session. Seems very work session-y with all the graphs and all the options that we have here and discussions for this. Our possible discussions, I guess. I know that CPI has been thrown around before, and I think it's a good tool to use. A couple comments before I get my questions. You made comments about healthcare being more expensive here, airfare. So just a point, and I think you did make an end point in your memo, is that, you know, we subsidize for airfare for employees. So I don't think that is a factor, and it shouldn't be, because we're already paying, you know, an allotment for an individual to fly. That's, you know, part of the contract. So I don't think you should consider that as part of, well, it's more expensive to fly here. And the other thing is healthcare. We have really good health insurance here, paid for most people's plans. There is no premium. So again, even though it's more expensive here, the part of the employee's base pay covers that. So just a couple points I wanted to make. I don't think it really negates the fundamental purpose of using CPI. But my question is then, when are CPIs calculated, and when, and then is that like a cyclical thing, or is it a quarterly thing, and does it vary throughout the year or from time that it is, and then when would we look at it? So is there a big, do you understand the question?
Yes, okay. Yeah, I can answer that. Gathering my thoughts here one second, sorry. So for the Social Security, what they do is they compare the Q3 numbers from year to year. That's why the numbers are published near the end of October, early November, usually the end of October. So they look at what inflation, what the cost of all of these typical items are now. They compare that to the exact same time last year so that there shouldn't be any seasonal differences between those numbers that isn't accounted for by straight inflation. And luckily, they have such a robust data set that they can account for those kind of seasonal changes. They publish two types of data, one that is seasonally adjusted, one that isn't. So all of that information is out there and available. And they also can split out other categories. Side note, it's really cool. So they can split out gas, they can split out food and grocery if they happen to believe that inflation in those categories is adversely pushing the data in one direction or the other. The CPIU is published in Anchorage, I believe it is every other month. And again, it is compared to the previous month and the previous year at that same time. So to make things consistent with the Social Security, we would be pulling these numbers once they publish their official findings at the end of October, early November, and keep things consistent with comparing Q3 data.
Okay, thank you. Answer my question.
Thank you, Councilman Coleman. Councilman Luby?
Yeah, I agree. We probably should have had a work session on this a little bit, because there are other things. One thing that I was thinking about was the contracts that we do with all the other employees and trying to keep them, you know, very similar. That way we don't get into that same issue that we did have, where we had union employees making more than their supervisor, perhaps. You know, and that was one of the reasons we did the McGrath studies, to bring Title III up. You know, so that was kind of a thought. Going with, you know, are the each contract, I can't remember exactly what their COLA was for every year that what they, you know, negotiated, but that would be one thing to look at for those. And then also another one is the price of fuel, that drive, that really is the biggest indicator, I believe, in Unalaska on our cost of living. Because that affects your utility rate. It affects what you put in your cart. It affects your shipping rates. It really does affect a lot of our cost of living, is the cost of fuel, because that's what really drives on Alaska. And a good way to track that, and it really did show it in 2022, when the price of fuel jumped so high, all of our prices went up at the same time. You also saw that in your sales tax. And granted, sales tax is based on people purchasing stuff, but our sales tax is pretty consistent year after year after year, if you, you know, look back at that. So that would be something to kind of review. And if you see a big spike in sales tax, it's like, oh, well, maybe our cost of living has really, you know, spiked. And maybe we need to look at that's when we need to look at the resolution, right? And possibly, you know, if it stays consistent, maybe our cost of living is basically staying the same. I think year after year, our cost of living here doesn't have big spikes, you know, and again, it's based on, I believe, mostly fuel prices. So there's, you know, there's other things to look at. But if I was going to just go with this resolution, I kind of like the weighted to go between the two. At first, I was kind of leaning towards just, you know, just go with the Social Security Administration, because Anchorage has really nothing to do with in Alaska and what they're doing. It's a bigger city. They get lower grocery costs because, you know, there's a lot of different things. And I kind of just go with the Social Security Administration on almost everything anyway. It's a federal thing, but it really doesn't apply here when you really look at it. And also when I'm looking at cost of living here, I don't really consider the cost of airfare a lot because it, I mean, some of it, yes, but we do subsidize how, you know, the airfare, and health benefits is a big part of it. There's no cost for health. So there, and you have health insurance. So, and they regulate what you're going to pay even for a copay. So there, you know, there's not real big jumps. I don't believe in healthcare here either, because you're insured. So anyway, with all of that said, if I was going to vote on this resolution as it is today, I would probably just vote to go or make an amendment, I guess, to do the 50-50 weighted, I think would be the best, in my opinion. But we'll see what everybody else has to say about that. And, or postpone it and maybe look at it again and maybe do a work session. That's another thing. So.
Okay, thank you, Councilman Luby. Councilman Bell, comments?
Yes, Mayor, thank you. I had some of the same concerns as my previous counselors there. As I was looking at this, the first thought that came to mind would be averaging, using an average of, you know, X number of years, so that it would avoid big spikes in either direction over time. However, the, you know, a 50-50 weighted average would probably accomplish the same thing. I guess the other positive of this is it's a continuing resolution. So if we, as we move forward and find that either the numbers are inadequate or it doesn't truly capture changes in cost of living, it is easy to change. So thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Bell. Councilman Tungo.
Yeah, well, good thing we budgeted for 3%. So I think it's just fair, especially with the Title III getting left behind a lot of times. A lot of our employees are being represented by union, and we usually give pretty much about that amount too. And on the airfare, I know it's part of their hiring process for I think it's just for an employee, but if you got a family, got a 2-kid and a wife, that don't compensate that. So I think there's a big difference on the cost of living for that part. So I think that thing is still a big part of figuring it out, because you can't just being compensated for just the employee. A lot of our employee got family in here, living in here, and they need to travel out with their family when they go out. So I think that's still a big factor. So, I can support this for now. I think I'll be good for this resolution. Thank you,
Mr. Mayor.
Councilman Bell.
Mr. Mayor.
Yeah.
Mr. Longo also joined in on the meeting, and he arrived around the time that we started during the regular session. So he's online.
Okay, thank you. Glad you could make it. Councilman Longo, do you have any comments this time?
But Thank you, Mayor. Thank you for the presentation. I agree with everything that was said by the council up there so far, and I would be in support of possibly amending the resolution towards the 50-50 waiting or postponing this to be able to get a little more in depth with some stuff. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Longo. What would be the 50% if you instead of doing that 3%, 2.8? Would it change the percent?
Jack, you want to explain what you meant by that weighted average of those two metrics?
Yes, the weighted average for this year would be a 2.6, between the 2.4 from Anchorage and the 2.8. And the weighted average could also be changed, obviously 60-40 in one particular favor or not. The reason that I threw that in there was just as an additional option. It might require a little bit more consideration of what the actual weights should be if you decide to go with that option.
Thank you. Any further comments or questions? Councilman Luby?
By any chance, do you recall what the negotiated contracts were negotiated at for their COLA per year, by any chance?
I can't quote it off the top of my head, but I'm thinking that one of them has 2%, one of them has 3%, but...
Right, okay. Yeah, sorry, I should have actually asked that a little earlier. I just was thinking about that just tonight, so otherwise I should have asked that before. So, okay. All right, well, let me think for a minute, sorry. I'm going to hold on 1 second.
Yes, thank you. Any further discussion by council on resolution 2025-61 as an information that was provided? Okay. City clerk, has anyone signed up to provide public comment?
No, sir, not for this topic.
I'll restate the motion. Good. Councilman Luby.
Yeah, so I would like to make an amendment to amend it to the 50-50 weighted recommendation.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Luby, second by Councilman Coleman to amend the weighting to 50-50 weighting. Discussion, Councilman Luby.
Yeah, I just think that that's probably a better option. I don't feel like Anchorage really plays a whole lot to it. Neither one I don't feel like it does. But I think for right now, I think the 50-50 would, I would feel comfortable there. I would like to probably maybe have a work session on it and address it again before next year. I know that you guys are coming up on the first of the year and need to have that, and we don't have very many meetings left. So instead of postponing or trying to do a work session, I think for now, I think if we just do the 50-50, that would get us through until the next budget cycle, and maybe we could have a work session or something about it for the future and look at other options and maybe get some more council input on it too.
Trying to understand the 50-50, would that still be within the proposed budget of 2026? Okay, just ask that nobody said. Any comments, Councilman Longo or Councilman Bell, on the amendment?
I'm in support of the amendment. Thank you.
Okay, hearing no further comments on the Councilman Bell.
Yeah, we'll just make a quick comment. And even though I did say that I might be lean towards using that 50-50 weighted, it doesn't really address my concern of a large spike in either direction, that w either a spike up in the cost of living, or as we've seen, 2019 obviously is an anomalous year, not a good one to use, but if there was a very minimal increase, it wouldn't, that increase for Title III employees wouldn't be such a drastic drop the following year. So I think I'm going to have to not support the amendment.
Okay, thank you. Councilman Bell. Any further comments on the amendment? Councilman Coleman.
I guess this comes back then to a data question. You seem like you enjoy.
Yes.
I mean, so the concern with spikes, I mean, if you're looking at historical data, I know we have some anecdotal maybe explanations of this, but if you were looking at historical records, did you see big spikes, or did you notice, or were you even looking at that?
Yes. For the C2ER data, which, like I said, does have some very major caveats, but it is the most comprehensive data set we have. Unalaska goes through very severe up and down spikes in cost of living. From what I could tell based on historical data, it seems to be related to how the fishing and shipping industries are doing, which is not surprising. But there are a lot of external factors that affect cost of living. Obviously, Councilwoman Luby mentioned gas prices, which are huge, but housing is also a very significant issue here. As people come on and off an island, housing becomes more or less available, which then rackets up the prices, and then rent and mortgages become significant challenges for people to face. Airfare, as we have regular carriers, multiple carriers to choose from, that lowers airfare prices. I know there's been discussion over whether that should be considered as a cost of living issue, but my personal opinion follows Councilman Tungle's in that the employee benefit only is for the employee. For the most part, our employees here are usually married, usually have children. Those are extra costs that are not covered by that additional once per year flight off. Those are other considerations that have very big spikes, sorry, depending historically on what's happened. Like, for example, we've jumped from, oh, I have to remember off the top of my head, I believe it was, right now we are at point, we are at a 122 COLI index. And in previous years, that has gone between everywhere from 105 to 180.
Okay, so so what would an impact of a spike be in the consumer price index as it relates to salary long term?
So if we see, for example, some sort of spike like in 2021 or 2022, that spike is overrepresented in the national data in 2021. I need to get new glasses. 2022, I apologize. So the suggestion of the weighted would kind of even out the difference between the spikes. You can also see in 2019, when there is a vast difference between the Anchorage and the nationwide line, the weighted average does kind of keep that down. But a spike to cost of living is a spike to cost of living. That means that it is also being experienced here and then also needs to be accounted for in the budget, would be my reading.
Right,
Councilman Coleman.
But I mean, a spike to one doesn't necessarily mean it's a spike to us. Ultimately, the goal here is, for me, is to make sure that everybody that employed through Title III gets duly compensated for our changes. And we're always going to have changes. Everybody says, oh, tax is going up. Well, yeah, tax goes up. I mean, most things go up. And we want to make sure that we are keeping pace with that. And so that council in 10 years isn't sitting here going, you know, we have to have this dramatic change and shift to baseline. I don't think anybody here wants to see that, anybody go through that again. but how do we best go about doing it as best representative? Which is why I like the weighted that was proposed by Ms. Luby, at least on the onset, to kind of see where that goes and to make a progress moving forward with that one.
Any further questions or comments on presentation on resolution 2025-61 amendment? Hearing none, I'll call for roll call on the amendment to resolution 2025-61.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Ms. Luby?
Yes.
Mr. Bell?
No.
Mr. Longo?
Yes.
Mr. Tungle?
Yes.
Ms. Coleman?
Yes.
On a roll call vote of four yeses and one nay, resolution amendment to resolution 2561 has been approved. Any further questions, comments on the resolution? Councilman Louie?
Yeah, and just, you know, if I think it, maybe we do need to maybe do a work session and can, you know, talk about it a little bit more maybe before next year. And I mean, I know this is ongoing resolution, but I think it would be kind of a look at a couple of different, you know, data. I know, you know, since you like the data stuff, that's good. Just keeping in mind there's maybe something that really is more specific to Unalaska, and, you know, fuel prices are one of them. Fishing industry, that's another one. And what are we looking at? And I think just different things like that. And just so that we're not stuck in this. You know, obviously we don't have complete consensus. So I think, and my goal is to make sure we take care of Title III and that we don't have this big drop, and we want to be consistent. And again, you know, part of that was being consistent with our negotiated contracts with the other employees. So, you know, keeping pace with them is important as well. So, you know, maybe looking at that as well. Okay, thanks.
Okay, thank you, Councilman Luby. No, be no. Let's see. Okay, City Clerk, has anyone signed up to provide public comment on resolution 2025-61?
No, sir. No one signed up.
No one signed up. I'll restate the motion. The motion is to adopt resolution 2025-61 as amended. I request a roll call vote, please.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Ms. Luby?
Yes.
Mr. Longo?
Yes.
Ms. Coleman?
Yes.
Mr. Tungle?
Yes.
On a roll call vote of five yes and zero nays, resolution 2025-61 as amended has been approved. Next item is the travel approval. First one is the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council meeting in Anchorage on December 1st to December 9th, 2025. At this time, I request the council members who would like to travel into Anchorage for this meeting. Councilman Tungo for North Pacific Council. Anyone else? Councilman Coleman? Go ahead, Councilman Coleman.
Yes, I actually will be in Anchorage, and so my travel expenses would be minimal. And my attendance, but I would like to be available should I choose to attend these meetings. So yes, I'd like approval to go to this, the council.
see, acting city manager, I had a question. I guess the normally we have one, the mayor, and two, up to three. That's still in play.
Yeah, your policy says no more than the mayor. No more than the mayor and three council members.
No more than the mayor.
Sorry about that. You can't have more than any three council.
Yeah. Some people out there do not know that. So I'm just letting them know. Thank you. Okay.
Don't forget you have two people on the phone. Mr. Bell and Mr. Longo.
Councilman Bell or Councilman Longo? Comment or request for North Pacific Management Meeting in Anchorage?
Yeah, Mr. Mayor. Is it possible to bring up the resolution on the screen? All I see is the meeting here, the meeting outlook.
There is no resolution.
There's no resolution.
Oh, okay.
Just approval by council.
So we're just approving travel at this time for November 7th and December.
Yes. December 1st to the 9th in Anchorage.
Okay. I can speak for myself and say I'm not available for those times, but I will support a resolution that provides travel.
Okay, thank you. So this time we have Councilman Tungle and Councilman Coleman, possibly, if you can get it off, right? We need to set a time deadline for travel because, as you know, travel arrangements and housing in Anchorage is going to be something we need to apply for as soon as possible. So today is the 28th, so I'd recommend no later than December 10th. That's good enough. Couple of weeks.
December 10th would be way too late.
These were November, right on it. November. The meeting's in December.
No, I thought you were confirming about the confirmation.
Well, the meeting's on December 1st to the 9th. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, Councilman Coleman?
Yeah, I'll just make a motion to approve travel for the mayor and up to three council members for the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council in Anchorage, December 1st through the 9th, 2025.
Second.
It moved by Councilman Coleman, seconded by Councilman Luby to approve the travel for the North Pacific Management Council meeting in Anchorage for the mayor and three council members. But any comments? Request a roll call vote, please.
Mr. Mayor, we have a comment. Somebody on Zoom, Mr. Kelty, would like to provide a comment on this item.
Yeah, he ran us in. Okay. Yeah. Let him in.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. I just wanted to touch bases on just give you some background. The December meeting is probably the most important meeting of the year for the North Pacific Council. It's the meetings where they set the groundfish quotas for 2026. And there's some crab issues, but not really anything that is going to impact us. But the groundfish issues, and they have a lot of good reports, year-end reports they talk about. One of the ones is that talk about the Bering Sea bee season dynamic closure that we had because of herring. They're going to give a report on that. There's also some halibut issues. And then they have essential fish habitat, the five-year review work plan, and then some planning updates on the social science planning team is going to give a report. And like I said, there's final action on crab arbitration and crab sea shares, which is captain and crew share discussion, and the allocation for the Norton Sound Red King crab, but that doesn't impact us. So anyway, it's a very important meeting because the specs for groundfish for 2026. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Kelty. Appreciate the information. Anyone else? No? Not a call for a roll call vote.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Ms. Coleman?
Yes.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Tungle?
Yes.
Mr. Longo?
Yes.
Ms. Luby?
Yes.
Thank you. And a roll call vote of 5 yes, 0 nays. Authorization for the mayor and 3 council members to attend the North Pacific Management Council in Anchorage on December 1st through the 9th is authorized. Next meeting, next item is the Alaska Municipal League 75th Annual Local Government Conference and newly elected officials training in Anchorage, December 8th and 12th through the 12th, 2025. The motion to authorize the mayor and up to 3 council members.
I make a motion to authorize the mayor and up to 3 council for the travel to the Alaska Municipal League, December 8th through the 12th.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Tungle, second by Councilman Luby. This again is a kind of a historical type meeting of Alaska Municipal League 75th anniversary. They have some special events and it'll be continuing as usual. Hopefully our newly elected council member will make the meeting and go through the newly elected officials training, which is informational and for new council members.
Councilman
Tungle?
I'm already, so with the travel on December 1st to the 8th, I'm already there, so I want to travel. But if anybody else want to be traveling on this, I'll set aside and give way to the other council member to go to this AML.
Thank you, Councilman Tungle.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
Mr. Chastain indicated that he would like to attend the NEO training for AML.
Okay, thank you. We'll make sure you get signed up. Councilman Coleman?
Yes, Mr. Chastain also indicated to me that he wanted to go to the regular session also. So I think that would be a great opportunity. I know he's been on council before, but... Yeah. But it, yes, continuing. So he just stay there and be able to attend the others. And I too would, I'd be happy to go to the AML, but I will stand down so that, you know, if Mr. Tungle, Mr. Chastain, and somebody online wants to go, then I don't need to go. So I don't know if Mr. Longo or Mr. Bell want to attend to the AML.
Well, I would advise council members to call the acting city manager and put their name on for the travel. We'll go from there. And we have a motion.
You just want to try to confirm so we don't go.
Motion was for mayor and 3 council members to attend AML. December 8th through the 12th.
Does anybody else? Tom, did you ask Tom?
I called him. Tom or Mr. Bell or Mr. Longo?
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, for information, this is Mr. Bell. I won't be available for travel in December.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. This is... Longo, I also will not be able to travel during that time.
Okay, well, thank you.
Okay.
You're going in circles here now. Okay. Motion has been made and seconded to authorize travel of mayor and three council members up to Alaska Minnesota League meeting on December 8th and 12th in Anchorage. Roll call, please.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Ms. Luby?
Yes.
Ms. Coleman?
Yes.
Mr. Longo?
Yes.
Mr. Tungle?
Yes.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Now, with this vote, we have 5 yes and 0 no. Authorizes mayor and 3 council members to attend the list in Alaska Municipal League meeting December 8th through the 12th. Okay, thank you. Next item is council directives. If there are any directives, need a motion, second, and a second. Any directives? I know I heard some discussion. Maybe we could have that on the regarding the Title II, was it the 50-50? Is that later down the road? Okay. Remind us when I can do that. I don't have any directives at this time. Anyone else? Community input and announcements. This is your final opportunity to provide information to the council or make announcements. There we go.
This is Larissa Cyberson from the Inuwashika Corporation. If you have little ones, please bring them by the office for trick-or-treating 2 to 5 p.m. at OC.
OC at 2 to 5 office for little ones. Okay. Anyone else?
And grown-ups.
And grown-ups. Okay. Any further announcements? Anyone on Zoom or telephone?
No, sir. Nobody else indicated that they would like to make a comment.
Okay, thank you. We will take a short break here and come back, and we have an executive session coming up, and we'll take a short break here and then going to executive session. What's the motion to go into executive session?
I move to go to an executive session to receive a report from Workplace Solutions regarding a personal investigation pursuant to UCO 2.16.070. B, 1, and 2. Present at this executive session will be the mayor and council members present, acting city manager Margie Veeder, city manager William Honka, city attorney John Fetcher, and consultant Myla Cosgrove, who are participating remotely.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Newby, seconded by Councilman Hongo. Sorry. Are there any objections? Hearing no objections, we'll be in executive session at 7:31 p.m.